This is the Gambling Gauchos.
Set, I don't usually wear it, and I've been drinking a lot of soda. Listen.
And fighting for each other. And fighting for each other, and no matter what happens, we just say what's next. That's all we do. Somebody turn on some damn music.
You're listening to the Gambling Gauchos, talking Texas Tech, betting on the Big 12 and beyond. We've got everything you need. Money lines, memes, and matadors.
Well, you want to quit, Ethan? That'll be the day.
Now, here's Kyle Jacobson and Rob Bro, the Money Line Matadors, the Casino Cowboys, the Parlay Picadors.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig. Win.
The Gambling Gauchos. Oh, and one more thing. It's all West Texas. It always has been.
Welcome into the Gambling Gauchos. I am Rob Bro. He's Kyle Jacobson. And he is Ryan Money Mainville. We need to get back with the Sam Elliott impersonator and have him add in Ryan Mainville so we can have an alternate intro. We're here in the Cardinal Sports Center studio. If you need to gear up for the Christmas season, it's the officially 12 days of Christmas that Cardinals is doing. Follow them on social media, Twitter, Instagram. They'll give you the deal of the day all the way till Christmas. They have the vault collection of hats they just put out that are electric. MyCardinalSports.com or live in person in Lubbock there on 68th and Slide. How are you doing, boys?
Doing great. Shout out to Cardinals. Got a location in Plano. So if you're in the more eastern part of West Texas, closer to my neck of the woods, Go see Cardinals and Planos.
I'm feeling better than a team that just came back from the largest deficit in NFL history. I need a Gauchos chain, baby. Let's go.
Kirk Thuggins over there.
You like that? You like that?
I mean, we were at Cujo's defeating racism on Saturday.
Yeah. Hey, shout out for that, honestly.
And or fighting against racism. I don't think it's ever going to be defeated. Hopefully one day we work toward that, but.
Hey, can I clarify real quick for people who may not be as online as us?
Oh, well, yeah, it was the Head Coaches Against Racism Classic.
Yeah, so my wife asked me, she was like, why is everybody in the Discord talking about the end of racism? And I was like, well, this, it's like a neutral site game and it's called like the Defeating Racism Challenge or Classic or something.
Head Coaches Against Racism.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, it was, they were joking about that if we lose, then we let racism win. And so it was working to defeat racism on, was that Saturday against Jackson State?
But only the coaches were fighting against racism. The players just let it ride.
We need all hands on deck there, you know?
Well, it's really a fight for everyone. And if you're not fighting it, you're letting it happen, right? Where even was I going with it? Oh, we were at Cujo's. It's on across the bar from us, the Vikings game. We walk in, it's 33-0. And then Ryan, with his eagle eyes, looks all the way across the bar and he's like, holy crap, the Vikings have tied the game. And we were like, what? So we had to get the manager over to change another TV closer to us. It was also a whole fiasco to get the HBCUGO.TV app on at the bar. But graciously, no free ads, but Cujo's did get it on for us.
So the way I found out about the Vikings game, I don't know if anybody cares, but I was tuning in early. I was going all around Dallas-Fort Worth house shopping. And it was like 16-0 when I was tuning in on the radio. I was like, well, great. And then I saw at halftime, I was checking a fantasy score. It was 33-0. And of course, like anybody else, I just completely wrote it off. And then a little bit later, it was 36-21. I turn it back on the radio. We're driving to the next house. Only to hear that Kirk Cousins throws an interception. I was like, well, we had it to a two-possession game. We had the ball. Maybe we're about to make a game out of it. But we threw a pick, so whatever. I tune out again. And then I see a text on my phone a little bit later, and somebody's like, wow, Matt Ryan's about to pull a Matt Ryan. And I was like, what? And I pull up the ESPN app, and it says 39-36 in overtime. And I still don't know how it happened. I haven't even watched highlights yet. But shout out to Matt Ryan.
I have too much fun with this thing on the YouTube. Anyways, I was driving over listening on the radio, and the guy, the color guy, was like, oh, man, so when do these guys think about just quitting and taking Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins out? And the play-by-play guy was like, well, maybe one or two more drives, and then I get there, and it's tied by the fourth quarter. The Cowboys went the other way.
So yeah, they lost.
We don't have to talk about that.
They lost to the Jaguars. They were like 5-8 or something. Is that right?
Yeah. There are two losses have a combined single digit win total.
Yeah.
So best 5-8 team in the country.
Yeah. So y'all probably aren't going to win your division either, I guess.
Well, it's not the worst division in football. So
dang. So y'all have to go on the road in the playoffs? That sucks.
Yeah, to Tampa Bay.
Y'all don't get to hang a banner for winning your division?
No.
Dang.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
That's a little AFC East, AFC title game, Colts banner-ish.
So y'all going to have to go to like San Francisco in round one?
No. Tampa Bay.
Is that it?
5-4, yeah.
Mm,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll get like Taylor Heineke or Daniel Jones in the first round.
I would not brag about having to get Taylor Heineke.
Why?
One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay.
He's a winner, man. Okay. He's a winner. Yeah. He's the second best quarterback in the NFC East.
He's the second best quarterback on his team, yeah.
Behind who?
Carson Wentz, when healthy.
Carson, the one where the head coach was like, what's the problem? Why are you starting off so bad? And he was like, quarterback. Ron Rivera said quarterback.
And then tearfully defended him.
Yeah, because the owner was like, hey, what are you doing, man?
How many times has Taylor Heineke won the job out of camp over a healthy quarterback in his career?
What's his record?
You're not going to answer my question.
Why are you you just want to argue tonight?
No, I'm just saying Taylor Heineke has like never even been the best quarterback on his own team.
It's a narrative that you're saucy, but you're defending Carson Wentz or Taylor Heineke when the records on the field are drastic in the last 2 years.
No, I'm not being saucy. I'm just asking you a question and you failed to answer it.
Because it was a leading question that doesn't have anything to do with performance on the field. It's just because coaches never get it wrong out of camp.
I said he was the second best quarterback on his team. And you're like, oh, how could you possibly say that? And I was like, well, he's never won a job out of camp over another healthy quarterback. So
I mean, you watch the games, all right? So today on the show, we're going to talk a little bit. How is that obfuscate? That is not obfuscating. We don't need – see, this is a narrative. This is an error that
it spreads. Thank you, Dale.
Kyle, keep this thing. Ryan, you're along for the ride tonight, man. Any bowl games that you've watched that have meant anything to you? Because so far, they've all been bad.
SMU-BYU wasn't too bad. I enjoyed that game. SMU just crumbling down the stretch. But that was a fun game to watch. But yeah, other than that, it's been tough sledding. Watched Florida avoid being shut out for the first time in like 40 years by drilling a field goal late into a bowl game. So pretty electric, I guess. I'm ready for some Texas Tech football.
Yeah, that one, Kyle, we got that one wrong.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Costanza mode on bowl season the rest of the way out because using my normal train of thought, has been completely wrong. And it's not just a bad streak. Like I hit World Cup, I hit NFL this weekend, but I just can't get the bowl games right. I blame it on the opt-outs and transfer portal.
I'm 6-3 in the bowl pick 'em, but the three I missed were awful. And the others are like, I don't feel good about it. Like, I just, the only one I feel like I nailed was Louisville.
Hand up. I did not submit a bowl pick 'em.
You're in the group. You just didn't. Yeah. It's not locked. You can pick every other game.
I told everybody else to, but I didn't submit my own.
Well, you're in the group, so you can go pick the rest of them if you want. If you want, you don't have to. You'll just start 0-9.
Yeah, that's kind of pointless.
I'm in fourth place. Didn't know that until just now.
Hey, there we go.
5-4, sitting pretty.
Oh, so who's? Wow, we don't need to go over.
Money Mainville.
Oh, 6-3. Oh. Why are you rolling your eyes at me, dude?
You just never miss a chance to pat yourself on the back.
Never. I've never missed. Ryan, since you have those up, do you just want to read the next, I think, till Thursday? Because there's one on Tuesday, and we can knock some of those out real quick. If you still have them up.
Yeah, let me look at this real quick. Because there are no dates on these.
Oh. Of course ESPN would do that.
Okay, the next six, you said?
I don't know if it's six. Let's at least do the next three or four. I can check the dates while we're going, though.
UConn plus 12.5 over Marshall.
Ooh.
Or against Marshall, I should say.
Rob, you and I already picked that one, didn't we?
Yeah, I guess I went one ahead on that one. So that was Henry Columbia. Yeah, 12. It's still 12. It was 9.
Yeah, I said Marshall initially, so give me UConn.
I'll take Marshall.
I picked UConn in my pick'em, so I'll stick with them. San Jose State, 3.5-point favorites over Eastern Michigan in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl on Tuesday.
Yeah, somebody's getting French fries dumped on them.
I got SDSU. SJSU.
SJSU. -4. Yeah, I'll trail you there. I don't know anything about Eastern Michigan. Well, cold weather, Idaho.
Yeah. The weather.
San Jose State, too?
The weather would lead me to take Eastern Michigan, so give me San Jose State.
I'll take Eastern Michigan. I'm going to fade Kyle tonight.
Toledo, Maction, 1.5-point favorites over the Liberty Flames. In the Boca Raton Bowl, roofclaim.com, Boca Raton Bowl.
The roof.
I picked Toledo.
Claim.
Maybe. Or .org. No free ads.
I'm also going to go Toledo because I believe they still have their coach.
Yeah, I think the line is already going to Toledo -5. You said 1.5, Ryan, but that's some pretty – I'll fade the steam and go Liberty.
So yeah, I guess I'm looking at when I got it in on the Bowl Mania pick'em of when I locked in my pick.
Yeah, so pro tip on the Bowl Mania pick'em, they don't lock until the kickoff. So you can go and look at a live line, and the lines have locked on ESPN like 2 weeks before bowl season started. So you can get month-old lines on the Bowl pick'em if something crazy happens, and then you can ride it to so if you want to pay attention while you're going.
That would have been really helpful to know like a week ago.
Yeah. Well, you can change them still.
Well, now I'm definitely going to be in first place. So sorry to everybody else that's in the Gambling Gauchos Bowl Mania pick'em. Want to close it out with Baylor Air Force?
Yeah, we can do Baylor Air Force and also Western Kentucky, South Alabama.
Yeah, the Hilltoppers is actually a stone cold lock, +4.5.
Ryan?
Yep.
I actually was going to agree there, so I'll stay. And then Baylor, this is 5.5. What was it?
That's what I got it at.
Air Force is 9-3. I'm not really a pro Big 12 guy in the bowl pick'ems. But I am going to fade Baylor. So I'll say Air Force.
I picked Baylor initially. I may flip, though. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I support the troops. Give me Air Force.
So you've got a plus two differential, not a minus two differential. If you're watching the stream, you saw that earlier. Dale says Hilltoppers. And then the Baylor time of possession offense against Air Force's running game, is that a big time under game?
That's what they want you to think, so take the over.
What's the total at? Does anybody have it?
I can pull back up.
I got 47 and a half right here.
Do you still have it, Kyle? 48, so yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably take the under. Close, yeah. But 17, yeah.
17-21 game.
I'm really curious about the psyche of Baylor playing a bowl game in TCU Stadium. It's so weird.
Yeah. It really is. Big Hen says over. Also, you're getting some Riz God comments over here, Ryan. My gosh, Ryan could be a hell of a DJ with that announcer's voice. And then Big Hen says, don't want, need to hear Money Mainville pull down one of those guitars and play some licks.
Big Hen, I will shoot you a message on Discord because you are a parlay picador. And if you are not a parlay picador, you should be. You can support the Gambling Gauchos on Patreon for a very affordable price of $5 a month and become a Discord member. But yeah, any guitar performance is going to be exclusive content. That's got to be paywalled.
Yeah, that's like the latest and greatest benefit to joining on Patreon is that Ryan will serenade you for 30 seconds.
Nice.
I will. I'll take requests too.
I'm trying to think. Sometimes a singing voice is a little different than a talking voice. So I'm trying to guess your range.
I'm a terrible singer.
Some gravel in the voice.
But I'll sing for Big Hen.
He's excited. Family show.
Do y'all have like a go-to karaoke number?
That's a good question. No. But I feel like I could nail a couple songs, but they'd have to be like right there in the middle. I can't go too high or too low. Maybe like a Three Doors Down kind of jam.
Like Away from the Sun?
Yeah. Or maybe like, I think it's the same song, So Far Away.
The thing about karaoke is you've got to
Far Away.
You got to like vibe check it. If you're doing this like really emotional, sad song and you're like bringing down the mood of the whole bar.
Yeah.
So Away from the Sun is like a little bit serious, I think. Like one time I was at a karaoke bar and this guy wanted to do Tim McGraw, so he did Don't Take the Girl. And I was like, dude, we're all like out here taking shots and you're Don't Take the Girl. It was like, couldn't you have done a different Tim McGraw song?
All right, so if the Gauchos were a band, we got lead guitar up here in the top right corner with Ryan, or maybe rhythm. I don't know what he does. Well, Kyle, what would you – of course. I don't want to sell you short there. Kyle, what would you be the drummer? Can you do some percussion? Would you – I mean, just lead singer? Is that you're the front man?
I would do
– I play the bass in real life, so –
I would probably be like the energy guy, and so y'all give me a guitar, but we won't hook it up, and it'll just look like I'm playing, and I'll like headbang and all that, and nobody will know any differently.
Ryan wants to know how the band would break up.
Rob Fiscating, of course.
No.
He'd be like, no, actually, I sang the right song. We said we were doing the set list in this order, and you guys are actually the ones who screwed it up.
We'll be trying to pick a draft order for the set list, and Kyle will try to think of the most convoluted way to do it. And I could think of something really simple, and then there would be a big argument about it, and we'd all walk off.
Yeah, great, Rob. Just find the website that generates your random idea and can execute it for us, and then we're in business.
Pretty much
any guy. Ryan, dude. We like invited him on this podcast. He's like, oh, yeah, I want to be the third Gaucho. And all he does is watch his parents argue every episode.
It's part of the fun. So that's the bowl season update. Do you have any signing day tidbits? Not like if you, again, we say this all the time. If you want like legitimate recruiting news, there are guys that cover that full time. You can go find that. We the three of us, a couple of big J journos in here, but the three of us are, you know, we just do it for fun mostly. It's at least the recruiting stuff. Is there any transfer portal or signing day, not scoop, but something you're looking for in the class? Oh, I did want to say, the fastest class in the country. Is that legit? And then there's seven, I think there were seven players that topped a certain speed. That's a speed threshold they look for in a high school class. And you have seven, and the next highest was like five in one class. So when Blanchard says he has the fastest class, he's meaning it.
Yeah, they're definitely looking for a certain type. I think I've given this tidbit before, but Miguel Dingle, the linebacker from South Carolina, I want to make sure I get this right. I think he's one of like eight or six linebacker prospects, high school linebacker prospects, who runs under a certain time in the 110-meter hurdles. And every other player who is – every other linebacker who's run under that 110-meter hurdles time has made it to the NFL except for one who was involved in a forklift accident. And we actually have – so we have Dingle committed who fits that profile, and I think they're working on a flip – for a second linebacker prospect in this same class who also fits that profile. So they've got a type. They want speed. And then they've also – they've not neglected the trenches either. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the offensive line and defensive line expected to be part of this signing class. And so I love the balance. You know, we've heard them say mass kicks ass, and also they believe in having a lot of speed at the skill positions. If you can hit those evals and develop properly, that's obviously a great combo. So I think they're doing it the right way, and excited to see what these guys look like in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think the trenches will kind of continue to be the focus of recruiting classes over the next couple of years, just because it's something that the staff has mentioned over and over again, and it's also been a particular weakness for Texas Tech. But man, looking at the transfers, like I'm really excited to see what CJ Baskerville can bring to this team. I think that safety unit now with Baskerville and Owens back there next year, that's a really fast group. And so looking forward to getting him in the backfield and seeing what that secondary can do. Hopefully coverages over the top are a little bit tighter than they were in 2022.
You know, I think you're looking for certainly that has been a position of need, and you can always tell a position of need when you see who's being recruited. When you have three or four safeties in the first two classes and two of them are four stars, they really put into that position. Hullabee on campus this year, redshirting, and then the two in this class that are four stars. A note on the redshirts, we talked last week about who could and couldn't play in the Texas Bowl. Now they've done a blanket waiver. So this game does not count on any redshirt at all. So you'll see Ty Khanna. You'll see some of these other freshmen that played. And then maybe
Bryson Donnell.
And then a few more that
– Coy Eakin maybe, special teams.
Yep. I would love to see him get a little more run. The one play he got in against Baylor at the penalty that wasn't his fault.
He needs some reps out there, man. He needs to get settled in.
Yeah, blocking a guy 10 yards down the field.
That rule makes so much sense. I'm almost surprised that they implemented it.
Yeah. That's kind of what Joel Klatt was saying.
No, never mind then. No, I'm just kidding.
I was too.
Has Klatt, we need to get Klatt on the pod.
That we all
talking about. I'm talking about all sorts of stuff, man.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is, but I guess we're reaching the masses here. Gum. You know him.
We need to get Klatt on the pod 1 year later and be like, do you want to walk this back at all? Like, I know that you're buddies with Matt Wells, but yeah. Can you see why the change was made? And can you acknowledge that progress has been made, even if you didn't necessarily agree with the timing or how it was done, that ultimately it was the right decision?
Do you think he, A, would come on? B, probably not. But B, remember that we had a hey buddy quote off, me and him?
I don't know.
Hey guy. Hey pal.
Some of those guys have long memories. You know, like we probably can't get Fran because of you. And yeah. No, I should rephrase. We can't get Fran because Fran is soft.
Yes.
Based on an interaction he had with you that was not your fault, but Fran.
Fran's. I quoted Fran and he was like, you mischaracterized. Like, I said it.
Yeah.
What's that joke?
Well, then, like, Goodman surprised me. I mean, I called him a POS, and yes, he was like, come on y'all's podcast. And so I was like, okay, I wasn't really expecting that. I was kind of trying to burn that bridge, and then he was nicer than I thought he would be. So I could see Klatt going either way. I could see him being like, no, I'm a little bit too good for that, but I could also, maybe if he's cool like Goodman was in that one instance, Goodman certainly hasn't been cool since then. Maybe he would. I don't know.
Fran was really good at the backhanded compliments too. He was like, you know, I really like to come on little radio shows like yours. Like, oh, thanks, Fran. It's like in the little towns around. It's like that. You're doing it again, Fran.
Yeah.
Speaking of long memories, I remember that because it was, anyways. Klatt would definitely never admit he was wrong. So he would fit in on this podcast.
That would be a disaster.
Oh, can you imagine the three of us going in a circle?
All of us going, no, 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 that's not what I said. I've never been wrong on the internet.
at least I think it's a bit for me and you, maybe. Well,
for you, yeah.
Well,
hey, you know what else is always right, Rob?
Rojino barbecue?
Yeah, go ahead and finish the ad read.
Or you don't. You Wait, asked me a question, and now you're getting mad at me.
I'm just messing with you. Rojino barbecue. They were in Lubbock last Saturday. They had Santa Claus out there at the West End. So I did what I always do. I went and got six meals for the wife and I. We had Rojino barbecue for the next 3 days. Still not too late, hopefully, to get in a holiday order if you want one. I would certainly recommend a Christmas brisket from Rojino barbecue. Give them a follow on socials at Rojino BBQ. You can order ahead RojinoBBQ.com. They've got a mobile food truck that goes all across West Texas, and their home base is out in Alton. Open Thursday through Saturday every week. And longtime sponsors coming up on a full year here with the Gauchos. And so we've seen them come a long way, and we've come a long way alongside them. So shout out to our friends at Rojino. If you're coming back for the holidays or something and you haven't been back to Lubbock in a while, definitely check them out. We're always getting asked what are the good food spots in Lubbock, and Rojino barbecue tops the list.
Just a note, if you want to do the Texas Trinity barbecue dinner for Christmas, you'll need to get your order in today, the 18th. So RojinoBBQ.com. I think they said on Instagram earlier. But you could order every day for the holidays and then just have it and then warm it up.
You know what else is warming up? Looks like the Texas Tech basketball team, after a couple of, I don't want to say bad performances, but closer than expected victories over inferior opponents, they put up a 100 burger. Yeah, we do have bots in the chat. It's because the mods have lost all control. But
lots of bots.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Hey, pull that back up, man. He can promote our channel.
Promote our channel, yeah.
It says so right there.
DKVD, zero.
Quality is guaranteed to be the best. Okay. So you beat the brakes off of Jackson State. I guess very broadly, there's been a lot going on with the basketball program in the last week or so. And I see some people that are like, all right, AMAC's coming back. We beat Jackson State. Like, all is well again. What's like the, let's take the temperature of the room with the basketball team as a whole, because we're, I guess, a couple more non-con patty cakes away from conference play. And then we're down to the nitty gritty. So, how are y'all feeling about the season to this point, the team, everything moving forward?
I don't think that I'm way excited because they beat Jackson State, but I think you did see a lot of progress, maybe. And Steve Green looked more involved in the huddle, maybe. Of course, you scored 100. The offense looked better. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, it was because of Steve Green. But if you look at Jackson State, 1-10, but only a 10-point loss to Michigan. They lost by 40 to Indiana, so it has been done. a 1-point loss to SMU, and then kind of a late run by Mississippi State that ended that one game by 10. You put them in hell on the defensive side. It looked like they've never passed the ball before because you were in the passing lane so hard, and you made shots. I think some of that is translatable, right? So I'm not like dancing in the streets because you beat Jackson State, but Jackson State is not as bad as their 1-10 looks, and you beat them by 50. Now, they kind of got Jerry Jones'd in the second half. I don't know if you got to watch the stream the whole way through, Kyle. Well, you were house hunting, so you didn't. But in the second half, there's windows in this high school gym. And on the, I don't know, we'll call it the southeast corner. I don't know what direction it faces, but the top left corner on the court, when you're trying to shoot a three, there's sun in your eyes. And that's the side that Jackson State was playing on the whole second half. So maybe that's why they didn't do good in the second half, but they also didn't do good in the first half. So I think you could take some positives from that game, but they're not good. They're not as good as Big 12 play. So you're going to need to be better, but step in the right direction, I would say.
Yeah, two things can be true. That win probably shouldn't make you feel an awful lot better about Big 12 play, just because, I mean, it's not indicative of the competition level that you're going to be facing in a couple of weeks. And it can also be a more promising sign of what's to come. I think that this is a team that's young. They haven't played a lot together. And I mean, really through the first couple of games of the season, you know, you're seeing things and it's like, hey, this is starting to work. There are some guys that are playing well. You just got to figure out how to stop throwing it to the other team. Like it's just unbearable. It's a terrible problem for this team early in the season. And I think that challenge to come out and have one of the best games protecting the basketball that you've had in a couple of years is a really, really good sign. And then I think we're just so accustomed to seeing good Texas Tech defense that performances like this can just kind of get overlooked, especially when you have 100 points offensively. But I mean, Jackson State committed 9 more turnovers than they had made field goals. So that's a game that you're really hanging your hat on. I think that game was closer to the identity that you want to be at than you've really shown. That looked like Texas Tech basketball. I don't really know if we've seen even shadows of that this season. And so that was encouraging to me. And I think that bodes well over the next couple of games for them to fall into a rhythm before you're really in the thick of it.
Ryan, I've asked you this question in different formats a couple times throughout the season, but is Lamar Washington your sixth man now?
Yeah, I mean, Demarion Williams was shooting the lights out on Saturday, and I think when you've got a guy like that, I mean, if he continues to make shots anywhere near that clip, it's going to be hard to take minutes from him. But Lamar Washington, what he provides on both ends of the floor, even when it doesn't show up on the box score, I think is really, really valuable for this team, because you're missing those guys like you had last year that you could kind of just throw into a lineup. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. They're not out there to play point guard or shooting guard or on the wing. They're just out there to play defense and then find a shot on offense. And I think he's a guy that as a freshman just has a really good feel of getting thrown out on the court and making things happen, making the right pass on offense, getting to the bucket, getting to the free throw line. That's always been a strength of his. And then the defense was really good on Saturday too. And so he's becoming that guy for me. But I think right now with the lack of front court depth, KJ Allen, man, the case just keeps getting stronger for him to get minutes. And I have been pessimistic on him as a regular contributor in this rotation, but I mean, he's making a case for himself.
That was, I almost said something harsh. That was his best game. I was going to say that was his first good game, but that was his best game this year.
It was the first game. Like he had a couple of games last year where he did a lot of things good, but he didn't really directly contribute to your chances of winning in a dramatic fashion. Like he was a guy that could go and get a board, body somebody up on defense, make a really good play. But this game, it was complete. Like he was putting points on the board for you. And I mean, you just need that this year. You don't have guys on the bench. So if there's a guy out there that's going to get you buckets, he's going to get minutes.
Fardaw's AMAC, broken foot. As soon as he's out of the hard cast, last week happens, and he's expected to transfer and then coming back, but he's still hurt. I've made my thoughts pretty well known on this. I don't know if you heard our last episode. My entire mentality on Fardaw's this season has been that I'm very weary of a big man coming off of a foot injury like that. The precedent is not good. And so expect nothing. And if he winds up being able to give you good minutes, count it as a bonus. But that doesn't seem to align with some of the fan base sentiment that are hanging their hat on, well, you know, as soon as Fardaw's comes back, then da-da-da-da-da, you know, we'll be some other different version of this team. How much are you expecting from Fardaw's in Big 12 play this season?
Not a lot. And that really hasn't changed from where I feel like I was at the start of the season. I mean, like you mentioned, he's a big dude. That's a tough injury to suffer and to come back from, and then to be playing against arguably some of the best athletes at this level. And so it's difficult, especially with the way that spacing tends to work on the Big 12. You're out on the perimeter a lot. He's going to have to be moving laterally really well to be able to keep up on the perimeter with some of those Big 12 guards. And so, yeah, man, I'm kind of with you. Just waiting to see what we get, but I just continue to be surprised at the anticipated level of impact that he's going to have. And that's not to say that he's not a good player. He is. He's a very good basketball player. But even like when he got his cast off, it was like, here he comes. And it's like, man, he's learning how to walk. Like, he hasn't walked in months on his bare foot. He's literally learning how to walk right now. And so I think it's just keeping expectations in check and hoping that you just get something out of him really this year. And I think you will. I don't think that he'll exactly be the caliber of athlete that he could be without injury, but he's going to give you something at some point down the stretch this season, I think.
A question from the chat. Was that Green's true offense we saw? It was a season high, I believe, or at least a month high in three-point attempts, but you had more possessions and you only shot 37%, but you scored 102 points. Pop Isaacs, 0-for-5 from three, and you scored 102 points. That's got to feel pretty good. Of course, you scored in the paint a lot against Jackson State, and they just couldn't do anything about it.
He's still playable, though. It's just an off night.
Yeah, I would say. Borderline unplayable if you can't make a three-point shot. But and then Washington, this is from Mooney, says, Washington feels like a true point of attack guy, especially on defense, 94-feet guy. That guy attacks on defense and attacks the rim on offense. I really like how he plays. He plays at an angle. The dude is always just seemingly on an angle, like running or defending on an angle, which I love.
There's going to be a Big 12 game this year where you're in like a 4-point game with 6 minutes left in the game, maybe less, and he's running a press and he gets a steal and gets a bucket that swings the game in your favor and you win. I just see it. I see it already.
If AMAC contributes to the team, it'll be seen in a fresher Bacho throughout the game.
That's kind of what I imagine his realistic ceiling being. If Bacho's playing 30 minutes a game, AMAC plays 10. They're never on the court at the same time. And I'm not trying to minimize AMAC because, like Ryan said, he's a great basketball player. But I'm just – the only reason I'm skeptical is because of the injury and how feasible or not feasible it is to come back quickly from that. And so I don't have this, you know, image of him playing 24 minutes of crunch time basketball in Big 12 play. But if he can spell Bacho and give you 10 and rebound – draw some fouls, make some free throws, then I would consider that a positive addition to this team. So we'll see what he does, I guess. But yeah, I'm curious to see which version of this team we get rounding out the non-conference slate. Are they going to put away inferior opponents or let them hang around like they've done a couple times? Now we've sort of seen both versions of that at different points during this season. And I don't know, maybe I'll feel a little bit better about Big 12 play if they can keep this going. I'll ask y'all again before Big 12 play starts, but if I gave you over under excuse me, over under 7.5 conference wins. What are you taking right now?
I still lean over just because we've seen Oklahoma take a terrible loss. We've seen TCU take a terrible loss. They've been playing well. If you can win 100-50 two more times in non-conference play, which you play Houston Christian and South Carolina State, maybe I feel better about that. But if you're giving me like 7 or roll the dice, I'll roll the dice.
I'm probably there too, but I don't feel great about it, especially because when we made our preseason picks, I was extremely low on West Virginia, and they've shown that they can be a better basketball team than I imagined. But I think I'd probably still go over. But yeah, it's dicey, man. It's a good conference this year.
It's tight.
I'd probably go under.
Yeah.
And I'm usually not a pessimist, but I think if you get to 9-9, you feel good about your tournament odds. You know, going 500 in this conference has typically historically meant you're a tournament team, and I don't know if we're quite there yet. So I'll say under, but I hope I'm proven wrong.
Me too. Anything Houston Christian, South Carolina State? I mean, no. You play one before Christmas, one after Christmas, and then New Year's Eve is TCU. So you got about 2 weeks, and you play 3 games, and TCU, if you had to choose an opener, a ranked opener, I guess that's the one you choose. But, man, I think that game will tell you a lot, because you're either in Fort Worth getting hammered, and then you're really feeling bad about 7.5, or you go play good in Fort Worth, win or lose, and you kind of say, all right, we can do this. Maybe make a little noise in the Big 12.
That arena is going to be scarlet. Hopefully. I mean, that's essentially a home game. It's got to be. With TCU in the playoff, you've got to pack that building and try and snag one to open Big 12 play.
Underrated point there.
Seeing TCU fans struggle to secure Fiesta Bowl tickets has been chef's kisses.
Yeah. They're really upset about it too.
Like, that kind of sucks, doesn't it? When you want to go to a game and you can afford to go to a game and you've made travel plans to go to a game and you just can't get a ticket. Mm. That would suck.
Yeah. Expected in basketball season too, right?
Okay. We got a good idea from a Twitter follower. He asked on Twitter for our all Mike Leach era team at Texas Tech as kind of a fun way to reminisce about the players that he recruited, coached, developed. And rather than answer on Twitter, I was like, well, let's the three of us kind of bounce that around and remember some dudes from 2000 through 2009. And then, Rob, you had the idea of making it more like a fantasy football draft. And so we're going to build each of our respective best Leach era Texas Tech teams by drafting Leach era players. So to determine the draft order, everybody's going to guess a number 1 through 50. And whoever gets closest to the random number gets the top draft pick, second closest, second draft pick, and so on. And then we'll snake back and forth like a fantasy football draft.
Okay, so we are snaking.
Yeah.
And then now, is this Price is Right rules, closest without going over?
No, just closest.
Okay.
Absolute value. Okay, so I'll let you all pick first. Any number between 1 and 50, Ryan, you can choose first.
23, not for Jordan. 100 years of Texas Technical College.
Like that. Robert?
27.
Okay. 23 and 27. Okay, I'll go. Oof. Wow, y'all put me in a bind here. I'll go 28. All right. I'm just going to hit it once so everybody knows this is kosher. It's 50. I don't know if y'all can see it.
We can't, but I trust you.
So that would mean whoever picked the highest number. Oh, that was me.
Yeah.
So I'll get the first pick in the draft. How about that? Rob, you'll go second.
Okay.
money third, and then we'll snake back. Now, this is
two picks.
So before we start, because I have a big board of players I would like to draft in a certain order. Are we going like our the best real life team? Is this fantasy football? How are we doing this?
Yes, yeah, so let's call it fantasy football. We'll go quarterback, running back, three wide receivers, because it's Texas Tech in the Leach era, a flex. So if you want a fourth wide receiver or a second running back or a Cole Roberts tight end. By the way, if we don't pick Cole, one of us has to, right?
He's on my big board. Don't worry.
He's on my big board too. Yeah. And then let's do an offensive line. Pick a year. And then a defense, pick a year, and then a kicker.
Okay. All right, I will kick it off. I am going to draft.
People are going to be surprised, I think, and you might get some heat for this, but it's the right pick.
Yeah, I'll justify it a little bit. We don't have time to justify like every single pick. I'm drafting Torian Henderson because in fantasy football, a running back who can catch passes is absolutely lethal. That's reason number A. Reason number A. that's reason number one. And he not only did he catch passes, NCAA record holder for receptions by a running back. Reason number two, there's, in my opinion, not a shot at any other running backs in the Leach era. Kind of a big drop-off after that in terms of career production. So I'm taking Torian Henderson, number one, locking in the running back position. And Rob, you're next.
Crabtree. Oh, do I need to? I don't think I need to.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Money, you got two picks, man.
You know what they say about fantasy football and the fact that you're not supposed to pick a quarterback in the first round, especially when you're talking about Texas Tech players. But screw it. I'm taking Graham Harrell, man. Give me Graham Harrell for my first pick. I was looking over some stats today as we were preparing to make these. Do you know? Obviously, I'm guessing both of you know that Graham Harrell is the leading passing touchdowns career leader for Texas Tech. But do you know how many touchdowns separate him from the second leading career passing touchdown?
So I know.
Yeah, just Tech.
So I know Cliff had 100 career touchdowns, but that's running and passing. He's the only other one who had the luxury of starting three seasons. So I would guess he's not too far behind because of that volume.
He's second.
I'll say that Harrell has Cliff beat by 18 touchdowns.
How many did Harrell have, did you say?
Mm-mm.
Mm. Yeah, it's got to be around 20, 25. I think Cliff had 90, 92.
Graham Harrell, 134. Cliff, 95.
95.
That's crazy.
39. That's like another full season.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that, and that's why I'm going Harrell.
Well, Cliff just had one big year. Cliff number four on my quarterback big board, by the way.
I'll reveal to y'all some of my big board positions if y'all want to, because there might be some surprises on there.
All right, number two for money.
I'm gonna go Ricky Williams.
That's a good
pick. Give me a running back.
Little Ricky.
Good pick.
The littler Ricky.
Hey, can I clear the air about something?
That you're not a Longhorns fan?
Point of personal privilege here. Okay. Just a slip of the tongue on one of our recent episodes. When I was talking about Texas Ricky Williams and Texas Tech Ricky Williams, I referred to Texas Ricky Williams as a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And I just want everybody to know that I know Ricky Williams played running back. I just slipped up and said the wrong position, but I'm not a moron. Anyway, go ahead, Rob.
All right, so you went Ricky Williams. I'll take Shannon Woods, get my running back off the board. For a lot of the same reasons, you took Torian Henderson. He was a 1,000-yard career catcher, 2,000 yards rushing. I might even have that backwards. Is what it is, though. He could do both. Shannon Woods, running back, off the board.
Well, y'all really screwed the pooch on this because I'm about to draft the number one slot receiver available. Very high volume of catches, which if we're in a PPR league, that's to my advantage. Wes Welker, who should be the next member of the Texas Tech Ring of Honor. And I need an outside guy. So give me Joel Filani.
Two great picks. I should have saved my running back. You know what? It is what it is.
Yeah, nobody else can draft him. That was a waste of a pick, but whatever.
Let's see. Going on my board here. We'll take Carlos Francis as next best available. Speed burner, Carlos Francis.
The most underrated wide receiver in Texas Tech history.
I would not argue that too long.
Look at the career numbers. He's just barely below some of those guys we talk about being like Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor types, and he doesn't get nearly the credit.
Good pick. He was going to be my snake pick here. But I'm going to take Nehemiah Glover at the wide receiver position. Suffered some injuries his senior year in 04, didn't get to play as much, but 03, man, over 1,000 yards, 14 yards per reception, 9 tutties, really good season there. So he's going to be my first wide receiver. And then, man, I'm going to follow it up and I'm going to take my flex and I'm going to go Mickey Peters, you know, tight end position. That's going to be my pick here.
Mickey Peters, for some reason, we got an unforgivable. I want to assume that it's because we didn't take Wes Welker before Shannon Woods. I mean, if I wanted to draft a return guy that early, I would have. I'll take Lyle Leong. Finished his career in 2010, but second in touchdowns, Lyle Leong, all time. He's not a player leech guy, but.
So, yeah, how are we handling this? If you played 1 year, 1 year for Leach, is that enough?
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Yeah. 08, 09.
I know. I'm not asking about Lyle Leong in particular. I'm asking for future draft picks. What's the threshold?
I would say if you had one solid year.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, his big year was Lyle Leong's big year. The 19 touchdown year was after, but if we're going career, he was recruited by Leach. Is that good enough? Oh, the unforgivable was for Kyle saying Ricky Williams was a quarterback.
That's fair. I can ask for your forgiveness, but I can't demand it. So I need some help from the crowd here. I need another outside guy to go opposite Filani. Are we thinking, could Jarrett Hicks play outside, do you think? Or is he more of a slot guy?
I was thinking he was an outside guy.
Okay. Struggling between him and Detron. I'll go Jarrett Hicks.
And 6'3", 212 Jarrett Hicks.
Do what?
6'3", 212
Yeah, Jarrett Hicks.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, my roster's salty. And then at the other slot receiver, because I'm going to play four wide, probably no tight end, Danny Amendola. Y'all gave me Welker and Amendola, and I've got the best running back in Texas Tech in Leach era history. And I've got two dudes on the outside. So good luck.
Fair enough. Ryan, will you remind me of your two picks so I can not double take one?
I have Harrell, Ricky Williams, Nehemiah Glover, and Mickey Peters.
Nehemiah. Oh, Mickey, I forgot you took Mickey.
Hey, so I just want to clarify something. We've made close to a dozen picks between all of us.
13.
And only one quarterback is off the board. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. And Danny, one of my favorite memories as a kid going to games was people chanting Danny, 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 Danny. Let's see. I'm going to go back to my big board. A lot of these wide receivers off here. Do I want to get a guy like Eric Morris? Emo? Do I want to go Rojo? The Athlete? Do I want to double down at running back? I kind of do. I'm going to go Baron Batch, another really underrated player in Texas Tech history.
Are you running some two-back sets?
Yeah, I might. So Shannon Woods can be out in the flats if we want him
to. Yeah, like that.
We also, I think, just erased our chance to take Cole Roberts.
Yeah, I'm going to take Eric Morris. That's my pick here. I got one more spot to round out my wide receivers, and so I'm going to take Emo there. Baron Batch is a sneaky good pick, though. I wanted that one. Was wondering if somebody was going to get them for his or get him for their flex. But with Eric Morris off the board, I'll snake back around. And you know what? I'm going to pick the 08-09 Texas Tech offensive line. Go ahead and get a group of guys that Graham Harrell is familiar with, a group of guys that was one of the best in protecting the passer and establish the run a little bit here and there when the Red Raiders very occasionally decided to do so. But that was a good group, man.
Yes, it was. And maybe the all-timer there.
Does anyone want to guess what the worst offensive line in terms of sacks allowed per game in the Leach era was?
2001.
I think it's 0506. It may be 01. I've got 0506 in my notes. They allowed 3.4 sacks per game.
Does that account for
that 01 team's got to be higher?
Yeah. I would think on like a per play basis that it was a lot better in the middle of the Leach years than at the beginning because Cliff got destroyed all the time. But I don't think they were as like up-tempo shotgun and all that early on with Cliff, but I don't know.
And then that 0506 team, my other note on that was they were actually last in the country in protecting the quarterback, allowed 3.4 sacks per game, which is pretty crazy because Texas Tech this season is allowing 3.5 sacks per game. And they are not last in the country. I think they're like they're pretty low. They're like 118th or something, but not dead last. I think it's to you, Rob. Sorry.
Not dead last. Kyle's about to go BJ like the big brain he is. I'm looking at the board here. I'm just tracking if I filled out my roster and then just tracking the picks. So I'm trying to go back and look through, but I'm going to let the fates decide my quarterback. And I think I can slide the receiver I want another way. And I'm going to take the best defense, which is the 2008 defense. I'll take the defense off the board first.
Okay. I didn't know we were drafting an offensive line unit, so I did not get to do a ton of draft prep. But I think I read, Rob, ahead of our interview with Cody Campbell, that the 2004 offensive line had one of the lowest sack rates in the country that year. I think a Manny Ramirez and or Louis Vasquez was on that roster. So give me the 2004 offensive line. And
might have been later, but
for a defensive unit, I'm also going to go with 2004. Well, no. I'm backpedaling. The pick is not in. 2002, because I get Aaron Hunt and I get Ryan Aycock, which if we were drafting just position only, those would be among the top defensive linemen and top secondary.
There's another guy in there too.
Was Kevin Curtis still there?
All-time leading tackler for Texas Tech was there in 2002.
Flu shot.
Yep.
That's right. 2004 offensive line, 2002 defense. And I don't know what their numbers were, but they had some
good picks.
And I'll coach them up, get them in the right scheme, and we'll win some games.
back to me. D'Tron Lewis is my wide receiver three.
That is a great pick. Great value at this stage in the draft.
Thank you. We're really going to play chicken for quarterback, aren't we?
I could take a number of dudes at this point, so it's not a priority for me.
All right.
While you guys are arguing, Graham Harrell has 500 yards and 6 touchdowns.
You know, Ryan, you could, if you just draft the quarterbacks before Rob and I do it, then you could leave us with, you know, Sticks or somebody. Not a shot at Sticks, but you could take the record setters.
That would be really awesome.
Let's see. Where am I at? I think I need a defense.
You need a defense and a kicker.
Ooh, kicker still on the board.
Which, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that because I was going to try to take the first kicker off the board because there's really only one good one.
There is. But I've got Graham Harrell. We're throwing it to the end zone every single possession. So I'll leave Alex there for you. Actually, I've got the snake pick.
Yeah, you have 2 picks.
Oh, I've got the snake pick. So I'm taking the defense. Whenever Aaron Hunt was on there, I think somebody already took 2002. So yeah. Can I take 2001 and just get dibs to Aaron Hunt, the best pass rusher in Texas Tech history?
You
and
have then the same dudes as me, but just one offseason.
Different years.
One offseason lighter, weaker, and slower than I've got them.
No, man, they've been practicing against Graham Harrell's defense. You don't even have a quarterback. Who are they practicing against? And then, yeah, I'm taking Mr. Alex, 48 career field goals. That's an easy pick for me, and I think that's my team.
I used to work at a soup kitchen with Alex Trelika's dad, Gerald. I'll take Deep Matt hit. Williams. I'll take Matt Williams, just for the story.
You're going Linwood?
Yeah, and we're only kicking PATs. He's never kicked.
Yeah. Okay.
57% or something.
So like, I've got a point.
Austin, all these guys.
We've got a point of clarification.
Okay.
I have 4 receivers and no tight end. Do I need to draft a tight end? Or if I'm playing 2 slot receivers, am I good?
Yeah, one of those wide receivers is your flex.
Flex, yeah.
So I need a quarterback and a kicker to complete my roster.
Yep.
I will take... Man, this is like my head is telling me to take one guy. My heart is telling me to take another. Give me, man. All right. I'm going to take Keith Toogood for my kicker.
Okay.
Here's what I'm struggling on with quarterback.
Great name, by the way.
I think Cody Hodges is the most underrated air raid quarterback. And if he had 3 years, we would talk about him the exact same we do Graham Harrell. I think B.J. Simmons has probably the second best season of any Leach quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
B.J. will also get mad at me if I don't pick him.
Oh, B.J.'s already mad. B.J.'s already mad because we're at pick 24 and he's not off the board. He got Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he doesn't need any more ammo, right? Like, he's got all these reasons to dislike Kyle already.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to take Hodges, but I'll take B.J. Simmons. And I'll leave Hodges for you, and I don't love that for you, but I'm taking the gunslinger, the NCAA record holder, until Bailey Zappe got a hold of it last season. Give me B.J. Simmons as my quarterback.
All right. I'll take Cody Hodges and win a bunch of games. Now, I didn't take an offensive line. Are we still
with the short? Finish this round. It's got to snake back to me. I've got to have the last pick.
Right.
So we can just get like a bench piece, like another depth flex guy.
All right, sweet.
So I have no idea what I'm missing.
You have, let's see.
You could just get another
wide receiver, yeah.
Yeah, another receiver, or if you wanted to get like Bristol Olamua at tight end.
Cole Roberts, diversified lenders.
Oh, yeah. We still haven't taken Cole yet.
I'm taking Cole. Give me Cole Roberts.
You're the new favorite gaucho.
Yes, by a mile.
Snake? Oh, my goodness. Who's still on the board here?
Let's see. I've got wide receivers up.
You could take Edward Britton.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Darcell McBath and put him at wide receiver.
Okay. Is Rojo still on the board?
I think he is.
Robert Johnson's still on the board.
You got Rojo and Edward Britton still on the board.
But if you want Darcell, we can.
I do.
It. All right. Yeah.
Ball hawk.
Also play him on defense. I'll pull a Ryan because I was going to draft the 08 offensive line. I'll just take the 07 offensive line.
It's a good move.
All right. With my last pick, I need a guy who's not going to be in the starting lineup. I need a locker room guy. I need a culture guy. I need a guy who can maybe be another coach on the sidelines, another set of eyes. Give me Lincoln Riley as my bench player / future grad assistant analyst, Lincoln Riley.
I love it.
I have no idea how long that took, but it was shorter than I expected, especially after our pre-pod discussion.
It's only about 20 minutes.
Let's go, us.
Yeah, I'm curious. We'll post those. I'll make a graphic for everybody's team and put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And curious to see everybody's feedback and if there was an oversight that we're not thinking of. Somebody's like, hey, y'all should have picked this guy. I bet Rojo will be one of those.
Oh, yeah. From my big board, Johnny Mac.
Oh, poll Johnny for Mac. The best team? We want to let the people vote?
We'll do a poll.
No poll. Because people just don't like me personally, and so I always lose the polls.
Well, we'll do it on Twitter blind.
No, it's not. All right, yeah, we'll do a poll.
We'll do a blind poll. People like
it. No, it can be – I'll attach my name to it. That's fine.
Alex Torres, somebody says. And then Rojo. Well, I think Torres.
I don't know if he fits the criteria.
Yeah. Nobody said Adam James?
We're trying to honor Leach, not
– Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Final thoughts? Diversified lenders mailbag?
Oh, yeah. Or everything okay over there, Rob?
Drop off, huh?
Do we have any portal talk, or did we catch up on that? Some football guys that I think have hit the portal since we last recorded, but I can't remember.
I don't. From Tech?
Yeah.
Jaltok Pearson?
Yes.
Bleedy?
Yep, we got Bleedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we got everybody.
Maybe that's the last of it for now.
Yeah.
Still think there could be more. But, shout out to the guys who are staying. And if you're staying in Lubbock, we hope that you will use StayTrig. Book at StayTrig.com. Use the promo code Gauchos for 10% off your first booking. StayTrig is your local option for a short-term vacation or home rental. And here's the deal. Every single StayTrig property is professionally furnished and decorated to an upscale standard. So you don't have to pay the last-minute hotel rates. Don't have to roll the dice with an Airbnb. Stay local. Stay with StayTrig. StayTrig.com, promo code Gauchos gets you 10% off. We want everybody to come back to Lubbock for graduation, basketball season. The holidays are coming up. Or maybe you're here on business. When you do travel and stay in Lubbock, stay with StayTrig. Okay, diversified lenders, Discord mailbag. If you want to join the Discord and submit questions on the mailbag, patreon.com/gamblinggauchos. It was a lot of fun the last week because basketball was just absolutely out of its mind. But cool little community that we're building. And we want you to be a part of that. So patreon.com/gamblinggauchos if you're interested.
A lot of exciting new members this week, too. Storms are brewing.
That's right. Okay, Rob, do you got it?
Yes, I got it. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, you were muted for like 45 seconds there.
Yeah, well, we were doing I didn't want to interrupt the live read.
It's good radio.
About StayTrig that I just don't want to jump in on you.
Right. Even 30 seconds after that's over with.
Did you see the video that I sent you on the Twitter DMs?
Yes.
How chill. He leaves me on. He leaves me on red a lot. And I was like, say it later. He's like, oh, that was a funny video. And you're like, oh, you didn't.
Give me I was credit. Busy this weekend. I was driving a lot. I was offline for once.
I am trying to find. The mailbags have been hot lately. All right. Would the Vikings have been able to make that miraculous comeback against anyone other than Matt Ryan?
Well, yeah, because I should have prepped for that question because there was that graphic earlier in the season for our first three big comeback wins with all the NFL teams that are down by this much with this much time left are like 0-300 or whatever, and Kirk Cousins is every single one of them just like sipping Gatorade on the sidelines. And we come back and win all of them. So it has less to do with Matt Ryan, more to do with Kirk Cousins, the best quarterback in the NFC.
You're sticking to that?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
If you could give any tech athlete a do-over in their career, who would it be?
Ryan, you go first on this one.
Do-over is a big question.
Yeah.
Because that could mean like injuries, guys I thought were good but just didn't pan out, guys that transferred. I'm going to pick Fardos Amac and just give him a healthy foot. Honestly, that's going to be my pick.
Lots of options here. Jarrett Culver. I just want that national championship game do-over because he, you know, didn't close out, can make another shot maybe. Baseball, I would say Josh Young, one of the greatest of all time. I would love to see that 2019 again. Of course, he did everything right. Dustin May in baseball, career do-over, to actually accept his scholarship to Texas Tech. That would be fun. Lots of baseball options like that. Football, in the Discord, somebody says Patrick Mahomes. Like, career do-over in another time period?
Career or, like, with a defense?
Yeah, career do-over with a defense. Like, if you gave him a career do-over in the same time period, the same thing is happening. Like, could you get him now with Joey? Could you get him with Leach? That would be more fun than just having him relive that again.
Can you repeat the question?
If you could give any tech athlete a do-over on their career, who would it be? Stephen Gingrey is a listed guy as well. Because that's what I was thinking. Like,
yeah.
Like, injury-wise. Tyler Shuck?
I'll take it a different way. Since we're talking about Rojo and some Leach guys, I, of course, love Sonny Cumbie and Cody Hodges. But we never saw the Mike Leach offense with a true dual threat quarterback. And Rojo was an insane athlete.
Yeah.
I kind of would like to just know what that would have looked like for two seasons of him running the offense. Would we have installed any kind of quarterback run game? What kind of productivity would he have had scrambling? And so he doesn't need a do-over from a lack of productivity standpoint. He was a great receiver here. But if I could like have his time in Raiderland again – and see what it looks like in a different version, I'll choose Robert Johnson.
Slim says Keenan, the Elite 8-year, healthy toe.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
What about B.J. Simmons, but they have real quarterback competitions in an offseason, and he gets to beat out Cliff?
Yeah, what if B.J. was a 4-year starter?
Yeah, or a 2- or 3-year starter.
Because, like, I don't know if this is fair to Cliff or not, but the way I envision that is that if Cliff was the better quarterback the 3 years that he was starter, the gap maybe wasn't that big, if at all.
Yeah.
And so Cliff had the benefit of longevity, put up great career numbers. By his senior year was really good due to the experience he had. But like if B.J. Simmons' 2003 season had 3 more years of him starting preceding that, how much better could it have possibly been? So – yeah, that's a fun one to think about, too.
When you saw what Cliff finally did as a senior, 5,000 yards passing, it was like doubled all of his numbers. BJ certainly would have done that, I think, multiple times. BJ not blowing his knee up on a celebration would have been cool too. Who are the woos McGuire has been tweeting about, and what's y'all's sentiment on team impact for the new recruits? We've answered that several times, but I'll let you go over it again, Kyle. And Ryan, do you have who committed?
I do not know.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't know for sure who committed, but I know they're targeting
a lot of guys in town last weekend. A lot of guys in town.
Yeah, hosting some visitors for like a last minute deal ahead of signing day. So I think there could be a couple high school dudes to round out the high school class, and obviously some portal guys that you're hoping have more of an immediate impact. Really, I think you just need to sort of connect the dots on, like, okay, Philip Bleedy left, so you need, you know, an experienced defensive lineman who can add some depth there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody that fits that mold. We've long thought or known that they wanted more speed in the wide receiver room. So if there's a portal spot open for a speedy wide receiver, you might see somebody who fits that profile. I think they could still maybe use some help on the offensive line. So maybe some transfer types that have some experience on the offensive line that could contribute immediately. So we'll see. I mean, we'll know soon. The signing day is right around the corner. And then I guess some portal guys might take more time to shake out. But yeah. Should start coming together pretty quickly here.
It'll pick up after the bowl game. It'll be pretty quiet for the next 10 days, I think. And then after the bowl game, there'll be some movement.
I don't know if you caught it, Kyle, but Ryan gave me a harsh eye roll there. For that, I don't remember.
You said Tyler Shuck for your career do-over.
Pretty harsh over there.
On a team that couldn't stop playing three quarterbacks, you're going to give one of them another shot.
Is Matt Wells still here if Tyler Shuck's a starter all year? This is now, again, we hammer Swamp Donkey a couple of times an episode, it seems like. But he asks, as a Vikings fan, but he clarifies before and says, for Kyle. It's like, we get it. Like, you're asking the Vikings fan. You don't need that's a double qualifier. Anyways, given the current and sure to increase 10-0 record in one score games, including 4-1 on Greg Joseph field goals, and given the Vikings playoff history, how confident are you there won't be another installment of Vikings missed field goal to lose a playoff game catalog?
Hang on 1 second. I had to take another hit of the copium there because a bunch of Cowboys fans are still talking about season-long margin of victory and point differential. And all we do, hey, we just sit here at 11-3 division champs playing home playoff games. So, yeah, you can point to, oh, they're all one loss, close comeback wins. I don't care. They're all in the win column. So, yeah, no, we're due, right, Rob? Due theory. We've missed enough crucial kicks in franchise history that we're due to start making some. So I have no fear whatsoever that the Vikings will choke this away in dramatic fashion in the playoffs. None.
Clip. We will clip that for later. 117-47.
I want winners.
Is the basketball team hashtag back? Ryan, is the basketball team hashtag back?
To what?
I don't know. Back to back.
Yes. They're back.
Back to drama.
I really like this career do-over question. I want to make a live submission to the Diversified Lenders mailbag.
Are you doing a do-over of your answer?
No.
Oh, okay.
Completely different question. I'm still taking Fardaz Amak. If you could take one guy, or no.
Oh, yeah.
Kalen Geiger. In Adonis Arms, which one would you rather have an extra year of eligibility to still be playing on this year's edition of Texas Tech's respective team?
Yeah, I would go Arms too. I thought you were going to say, which one would you rather start at Texas Tech and get a full career from?
That's also a question.
But I don't know if if it was Bryson Williams. And you could have 5 years of Bryson Williams or Tariq Owens or Matt Mooney. I don't know if I would want 4 years of Adonis Arms because when he got to college, he was 5'10". And they said that a lot. So
what if he comes in at 6'6"?
Yeah,
if you and then has a, another 9-inch growth spurt.
He goes full Dennis Rodman.
I'm not taking shots at anybody here.
Uh-huh.
I think collectively as a fan base, we might misremember a little bit who Kalen Geiger was.
Let's hear it.
He had one touchdown in his one season in Lubbock. So we appreciate him for coming.
Yeah.
But his stat line in 12 games, 43 catches, 533 yards, one touchdown. Is that above replacement for like anybody else on the roster at that spot?
I would have loved to have seen that with a different situation.
Yeah, I think it's a what if for me. Or like, what if you could put Ezukama in this offense?
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, I would love to have Ezukama.
Have mercy. Okay.
No.
If I could have one guy in recent memory in this offense, it's Kiki QT.
Antoine Wesley.
No. Dude, Kiki in this offense.
Straight down the field, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I just realized that we're doing the thing that whenever it's a tweet and it's like guys only want one thing and it's to sit around and name random sports players from the last 20 years. See, like this, subscribe to the Gambling Gauchos, man. Exclusive content here.
It's my favorite road trip game, just naming random football players. But no, I think Kalen Geiger's two seasons at Troy were better than his one season at Texas Tech. So give me Adonis Arms, because especially this season, you need depth on the wing.
Yeah.
And he was great defensively. I would take Adonis.
Yeah, I'm taking Arms. I think it's just an interesting question. Two guys that were here for a year. You got a glimpse of something that looked promising, and now they're both kind of teetering in the professional ranks. I just think it's interesting to think about.
If you could have one guy for his whole career, would you want Tariq Owens or Matt Mooney?
Owens.
Owens.
Or Grant Williams.
No, Owens, because he's a unicorn. Like, as good as Matt Mooney is, there are other really good point guards. But Tariq Owens is like one of one type territory.
How many blocks at Texas Tech would he have had?
Isn't he like
top? He's all single season leader.
But isn't he like top 5 or 10 for career with just that 1 year?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I might take the over at 200 career blocks for Tariq Owens in 4 years at Texas Tech.
We had 110. What's the record? I would have to go back and look.
That's a great question.
Start bench cut Vasher, Ezukanma, Antoine Wesley. Start Wesley. Bench Ezukanma, cut Vasher. I don't know if I like that.
These are so hard for me because I always ask myself way more questions than are actually asked.
Yeah. Who's the quarterback? What offense is
right, it? Right. Or am I going based off like actual numbers, production, intangibles? But I think I'd go that order too. Wesley, Ezukanma, Vasher.
Okay. Did a little bit of homework circling back to the last question.
Uh-huh.
Tariq Owens had 92 blocks in his career as a Red Raider, which was one season.
That is absurd. I was trying to do the math in my head and make it make sense for a total, but that is incredible. 92 blocks. That's like
so. Just for
two and a half a game.
For some perspective, third place on the all-time blocks list, Will Flemons had 109. And so he was very close. Like another half season, less than half a season, and he's got it. And if he was here 4 years, the all-time record is 162, Tony Battee, and he would own that if he played two full seasons here. So I am starting Ezukanma, benching Wesley, cutting Vasher.
If I didn't do what I did, I would do that. Where does that go ahead?
I was gonna say do the Gushers one. Because I've got some spicy takes here.
Were you about to ask me an Alan Bowman question? And I do want to talk Gushers. But
yeah, where does Alan Bowman end up?
What do you mean?
Well, he's transferring from Michigan.
He just recommitted.
I'm just reading out of the mailbag, man.
Penn State. Texas,
I think last time.
Penn State.
Purdue. I like Purdue.
He's going to throw for 5,000 at Ball State.
Yeah. Western Kentucky.
Hmm.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Where's the Gushers? Is it in the correct?
Probably not. It was start bench cut.
Okay.
Gushers. Welch's Fruit Snacks. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to be able to remember the other one.
Fruit Roll-Ups.
Fruit Roll-Ups. That's what it was.
I am starting Gushers, benching Fruit Roll-Ups, cutting Welch's Fruit Snacks.
Now, Welch's, that's like a blue bag?
Yeah.
Oh, fruit Roll-Ups, but you have to unroll it all and then put it all in your mouth at the one time. And then Welch's, and then Gushers.
Yeah. So, did you just cut Gushers?
Yeah, you cut Gushers? Yeah.
Over Welch's.
I love those are the goat fruit.
Oh, snacks. Those are terrible. This was going to be my follow-up, was a start bench cut of Walmart Smiley's, Welch's Fruit Snacks, and the Mott's Fruit Snacks. I don't know if y'all have had those, but those are incredible.
I buy Mott's.
Freaking best.
No. I buy Mott's, so that's you start those. I don't know if I've had
Mott's Smiley's guy.
From Walmart, so I'm undecided on benching or cutting Smiley's versus Welch's. I'd have to try them.
Have you had the Scooby-Doo ones?
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, they're still not starting over Gushers or Mott's.
I think Gushers are overrated. They're too sticky.
I got a blind fruit snack taste test brewing.
For the TikTok?
For the TikToks.
Okay. Nikai was awful at the Dr. Pepper one, so.
Well, the sampling was contaminated. Rob gave me a bunch of water and called it McDonald's Dr. Pepper because it was just melted ice. So,
well, one of us did it perfectly, and then one of us didn't.
Yeah, because I gave you good samples.
I also drove to like 4 different gas stations for you that day. Oh, man. I think that's it on the mailbag, too. There's some David Yost stuff I just saw, but I don't think it was in the mailbag.
There's more in the mailbag, isn't there?
Well, there was a huge conversation about graphics and Alan Bowman and the Let's Go Back.
It doesn't surprise me that the mods on Discord have lost all control, but we might need to re-explain what the mailbag is for. It's where you ask questions.
Yeah.
And then we answer them. Not where you carry on a long conversation and then we have to dig through pages and pages to find the questions.
There's one more question. It's from you. It says, are y'all trolling?
Oh, yeah, on the Slowpoke stuff.
Yeah, that was in response to. Oh, Max Duggan. Over, under, pick. So
under. Under.
Would under be higher in the draft?
Lower.
Lower in the draft.
Lower.
I like Duggan. I would pick him if I was a GM.
Okay, so pick 75.
Oh, he'll go after that. He'll go in the fourth round.
Fourth round.
Yeah.
So be the – okay, so over, under, fifth quarterback off the board, 5.5.
Under.
Under is – like, this is
– like, he's going to go after 5.
Okay.
I need to see who else is in this class. Eighth.
Whether it's justified or not, I think he's going to go lower than fifth because you've got, I mean, Levis, who everyone still seems to love for whatever reason, got Young. Stroud, is Stroud in this draft or does he have another year? He's in this draft. Yeah. You've got, goodness, Hendon Hooker, I think, is declaring, even him? With the ACL. Yeah, I'm going to go under.
Let's see. Clayton Toon. Oh, why would you do this? I hate these freaking articles. Dorian Thompson Robinson from UCLA. Cameron Ward, Washington State. Jaren Hall, BYU. Bo Nix, Oregon. Hendon Hooker, Tennessee. Will Levis.
Bo Nix is playing. He's going to be playing in Lubbock.
Anthony Richardson, Florida. CJ Stroud, Ohio State. And Bryce Young. That was somebody else's list, not mine. Now, where was that? Bo Nix is going where?
To Oregon. He's recommitting. just like Alan Bowman for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But he's actually going to be playing in Lubbock. So we'll see Bo Picks out on the plains.
Good.
I'm with you.
Money line, Texas Tech against Oregon. Shock Knicks.
Ooh.
I'm filing that away for the 6 degrees of Texas Tech Oregon thread that we'll do before that game.
There's a lot of juice in that game. A lot of overlap. Be a fun game.
Oregon ties. Shuck won't be starting. Anything else? Final thoughts?
He would if he had a career do-over.
That's true. No, he'd already be gone. He'd be in the NFL draft.
Former number one overall prospect.
And Matt Wells will be starting.
Starting?
Starting him again. Walter Football, number one overall draft pick. Yeah.
The number one mock draft.
Yeah.
Y'all want to do a Festivus episode on Wednesday?
Sure. There was one more thing we wanted to talk about last time that we didn't get to.
Okay.
So OU and Texas leaving?
Mm.
Do you want to give a rant on that?
We can save it for Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a good Festivus topic.
Yeah. So come ready to air your grievances.
It's my favorite part about Christmas.
Yeah. We'll, then we'll be knocking on the doorstep of the bowl game and Big 12 basketball. So the quiet period is almost over.
All right. I don't have anything else to add. Ryan, final thoughts?
I got nothing. Love y'all. Eat some Mott's fruit snacks this week.
Yeah.
Or the good ones, the Welch's. The red ones. Is it cherry or what?
All I know is that the grape ones in Welch's might be one of my least favorite things that I've ever eaten.
Well, am I thinking the same thing? Because I'm thinking it's just one flavor in a big bag. That's what I was thinking of.
They got all the fruits, I think.
Hey, so Ryan, do you...
Maybe I need to advise on that and see what I'm talking about.
Ryan, do you like fruit roll-ups and gushers?
I don't love fruit roll-ups, but I do like gushers. Also, I haven't had them in a couple of years, though.
So
got a good nostalgia factor to them.
I'm trying to formulate tomorrow's start bench cut. So I've got gushers, fruit roll-ups, and Welch's, but should we put Mott's in there instead of Welch's?
Scooby-Doo.
We need to have a sub-poll. A sub-poll for our fruit snack poll.
We'll keep the Mott's are good.
But I will ask everybody tomorrow, and we'll see what they say.
I'm trying to remember what the Welch's cherry only are great. Yeah, that's what I'm... It was like a bigger bag. Got them at like the magazine sale. Do y'all ever have magazine sales? And you get prizes? No? You know, if you do eat fruit roll-ups all at once, you could pull a tooth, and that would be a catastrophic injury. Is there something we could do about a catastrophic injury?
I forgot that was a risk when you ate a fruit roll-up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you needed to sue fruit roll-ups, call our friends over at Barnett, Howard, and Williams. You know them from Gaucho's After Dark this season. Since we don't really have any After Dark content to speak of at the moment, we'll just shout them out here. BHWlawfirm.com. Now, how do you know that they're the best attorneys in the state of Texas? Well, all three partners are double Texas Tech grads. That's how you know. They are based in Fort Worth, but they handle cases all across the state of Texas, including one of the only law firms in the state that is certified for Title IX student litigation. So they hope you never need them, but you've got somebody good in your corner. If you do, BHWlawfirm.com. Oh, and shout out to Argentina for winning the World Cup, the Gauchitos. You know, when they lost to Iran in match number one.
It's Iran!
There was never a doubt in my mind. I was like, you know what? They're going to win every single game after this. Zero, zero doubts. Zero worry.
some guy pulled a Thomas pulled a tooth out with a milk dud as a kid.
Yeah, that's believable. Those things are resilient.
A coworker just ripped a tooth out with a dot.
Also believable. Cut dots. Always cut dots.
I would need a dot.
So I don't get it. Like a Tyler Shuck pass knocked their tooth out?
No, a Kirk Cousins pass.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Hit her right in the face. Are we ever going to end this? They lost to Saudi. Not that that matters. Not Iran.
That looks bad on me. That looks like I don't even follow the sport of soccer that closely.
Or geography in the Middle East.
Or, that almost
or,
makes it
or
like,
Ricky Williams.
That almost makes it look like that game was at 4 a.m. and I didn't even wake up to watch it.
And
that's tough, honestly.
That you don't care about the geopolitical atmosphere and would mix a country like Saudi and Iran.
Yeah.
Tough look for a man in politics. All right. Are we ever going to end this or are we just going to keep going on and on and on?
Love y'all. I'm not really. Happy holidays. I'm more subscribe to the Gouchos.
Ryan wants to leave so bad. All right. See y'all. You have to say it, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
And he froze.
Oh.
He froze. No. Oh, there he goes. There he
love
goes.
Y'all.
All right.